Hi guys, and welcome back to Ultra Chill. This week we're talking with Nicholas and David, the co-CEOs of Ultra. Patrick has been nice enough to collect a bunch of questions from the community, and we're going to go through them one by one. There's a lot of detailed answers, and this is going to be a really long episode. So make sure to use the timestamps in the description below so that you can jump to stuff that you find particularly relevant for yourself. Let's get to it. Welcome back to the show, Nicholas and David. Before we get started with the community's questions, I wanted to get a sense from each of you how things are progressing at Ultra. Let's start with you, Nicholas.
I think on the progress, we reached, I think, a lot of the main components, like technical components. So right now, we all have, if you saw the progress since the beginning, we really had a lot of years of development of technology. And the recent months and last year, we are starting to release products, which is what will make a difference on the market. So right now we are at this stage where basically we are raising the product, polishing the products, seeing the feedback as well, and improving what we develop. That's, I think, the big shift from the previous years, and as well the I would say on the content side as well right now. So we provided some level of content, we tested. We also have things in development, and then we now can start to ramp up into a new direction, which is really the scaling aspect. So this is for that we need also content, but also technical solutions like made available. And that's also what part of what we are working on is to make sure it's available, usable, which allows us also to improve the quantity of the and quality of the content, which is even more tailored into and fits into the ecosystem and takes advantage of it.
What about you, David? How have you been feeling?
Yeah, like Nicholas said, we've been working a lot for the past years on, you know, invisible stuff, if I can say so. You know, blockchains, the protocol itself, NFT standard, backend data, you know, tons of stuff that isn't very palpable for the end user. And so we're not now at this stage where we reached a critical mass in terms of, you know, core functionality that is sufficient to be leveraged by, you know, front-facing applications. And so we've been, you know, building these front-facing applications, and now you can start seeing them pop up, you know, for the past, you know, months. We've had, you know, a lot of releases, lots of updates, and every, you know, bi-weekly, we have a report of, you know, everything that's being done. And, you know, I have the pleasure to see that there's a lot of front-facing stuff. So I think from here on, users are going to start seeing everything being improved a little everywhere. You know, here's this, here's that. Now, there's still a lot of stuff that is being made for developers right now, which is, you know, important for onboarding them to facilitate their lives, you know, developing games, applications, and so on using our technology. But we have a healthy mix, you know, for front-facing for users, you know, updates and developer updates. And then I think everybody also saw all the work you've done, Rami, with the documentation and the tutorial that are being written as we speak.
So I wanted to jump into the questions the community provided to Patrick, I don't know, a few weeks ago. First off, we recently saw visuals of the social system of the Ultra Arena in the Ultra Arena launch trailer. Is this one in development, and can we expect this to be released this year? So in the Ultra Arena launch trailer, somebody noticed that on the right there was some of the prototype designs that have been produced that lay out like what Ultra kind of wants to build from a social system, the side panels, right? And I think that like there's two things that we can really talk about here. I think that there's the migration to Electron. I think that that's something that like kind of everybody understands is happening, but like we haven't been like explicit about it. And that it is an enabler for that stuff. So that's like one thing. I think that it's important to talk about like the prototyping system that we have in Ultra, where we conceptualize like what the product is going to be. And then it takes us a while to like get to building it. But like the concept of the product is like fully fledged already.
Yeah, makes sense. That's correct. So the next things that we're working on and that are being scheduled and focused and discussed about are like, as you call it, like social related functionalities. The side panel is there, hopefully to soon have notifications, and that can be any type of notification from any type of app. So that's going to be sort of like this one place where you can see what's going on, or being called to action, you know, hey, you know, your NFT has been sold, or maybe a friend, you know, wants to invite you in a match, or, you know, you've been invited in a tournament, these kind of things.
I think that the important part there is really the transversal aspect of this, that it's not like you would see on Steam, okay, that's great, that's your contact list. And that's what you can do by inviting people to the game and talk to the guy, and that's it. Yeah, the idea is really that the social system are able to be a cross-ticker system. So whether you do tournaments, whether you do trading on the marketplace, whether you buy games, recent games, you actually can enjoy the same type of solutions across the board, which means much easier to actually say, that's not limiting you to one siloed solution. You really can say, okay, I bought my game, I'm going to airdrop it to somebody else on my contact list who sold it, will sell it on marketplace after. Why not? So this is really more the ecosystem vision and how we see the social elements as well.
It's like, I just mentioned like there's the notification panel, but there's also going to be a chat, you know, messaging panel. And so, you know, a lot of applications are being built, and then they build their chat, they build a friends list, and they build notification, and all of these things are actually, you know, reinventing the wheel over and over again. So what Ultra does is that we intend to provide essentially infrastructure, and we consider notifications infrastructure. We consider, you know, friends list, peer-to-peer communication, friend list. And so if you're for example, let's take the case of Arena. At one point, you have a discussion, or you're supposed to have a discussion with your team on, you know, what server to go on, or how to prepare certain things, or maybe you need to speak to the, you know, opposing team. And, you know, today it's like, basically, most tournament platforms are like, I'll go on, you know, Discord. And so players are jumping through hoop. And so the way you fix that is, okay, well, I'm going to make it, you know, chat system in, you know, let's say Ultra Arena. The thing is, this is actually a big undertaking. Like, there's a lot of stuff to be done to make it work and to make it scalable. And so the idea here is that, you know, this could be part of infrastructure that is leverageable by the application. So you go in the app and then you can do, okay, click on, you know, chat with team, and then boom, you have the side panel showing next to your app. It doesn't hide your app. The app just, you know, reduces a little bit inside, and then you have the chat and you can start chatting. And then potentially, you know, later we can add additional functionality where, you know, within the chat, there could be a button, like, for example, join server, you know, and we can extend, you know, step by step, these, you know, infrastructure component capabilities to let application developers better use them and, you know, streamline the user experience.
I do want to add that a lot of this stuff is already up and running in Ultra's Ultra Cloud SDK. And this is stuff that developers can and should be using. And like David said, when we talk about what it means to build a game, there's a lot of stuff like infrastructure stuff that like you don't want to go and reinvent the wheel. You should go and build your like business logic or your game logic. And that should be your focus. And Ultra the intent here is to provide you with, you know, notifications and ways to message your users and ways for them to have a social chat within the games and things like that. It's all like there, it's ready to use, it's built in, have at it. So next question, I think this one's going to be for you, David. Where are we in the development process of Ultra's exclusive AAA games?
We're doing good, or the studio is doing good. We just had a series of playtests, which improved very fast. I saw incredible jumps in terms of performance improvement, probably based on feedback that they got. Essentially, you know, all core systems are working. The weapon system works, the character animation works, the loading of assets, all of that works. So I think they're entering into content production, if you will, which is a stage where, okay, well, you know, things are working, you know, we're satisfied with the core, you know, gameplay. And then now we're going to start building content. And that means, you know, maps, that means, you know, more weapons, more props, more, you know, stuff that you can see when you play. There's also a new game mode that has been developed and playtested recently, which is called Extraction. That will work with a system of procedurally generated maps. So that's very cool. It will leverage some of the latest Unreal Engine 5 functionalities. I saw it working. It's, you know, impressive, really impressive. The team is doing something, you know, visually stunning. And the atmosphere of the game is very cool. And so because it's procedurally generated, it will feel every time different when you play these maps, and which is of course like a big goal for, both the game developer and for Ultra. Like we want to have a long lifespan, and we want to, be able to operate that game, you know, for many years to come, and then have, you know, seasons, or maybe have a, you know, two seasons per year. That would be very cool.
That's really on the, on the FPS side, which indeed is progressing really well. So we had a chance to show it also to some pretty substantial publishers, also to have them take a look. So far, I think the feedback has been really great. The involvement also of several large partners is showing that they want to be involved. So that's, I think, something that would be exciting to see. A game which uses blockchain technology at its core doesn't feel like there is blockchain technology and is supported by large industry players. I think that's what's missing today in the space. But you really segregate it into Web3 only. And then you see there's nothing like really exploding. Some are doing great, of course, but not exploding yet. And hopefully that's what we can achieve, is that having the buy-in of the largest players in the space, which are traditional players who can help and push it to the mass as well. So that's our aim for the FPS. And on the sports game, so we also had quite some good progress. Right now, we are moving to internal testing, plus some external testing as well, with 64 players. And that's a season that's going to last a month. We will see how everything is going really well. If there is no issues, we like the game, and then we keep on improving the game. But we are quite far ahead in the process. So that's good to see, especially for us, because we've been, you know, we want to see people using technology as well and see that it works and it feels seamless. And that's the goal with both of those games.
It's been really fun to see the visual progress of both of those games over the past like year and a half. Like they started off very rough and they have become very polished, especially the sports game. I really like the style of the players that has evolved over the last few months.
Yeah, the first one, I mean, were mockups.
placeholders.
hopefully they move to something great, but yeah, that's pretty the evolution.
Yeah, it's always scary with game development, because you have to start with placeholder, right? But you never really know where it will go, and when you see the placeholder, you're like, but then eventually, you know, they're replaced and they're done properly, and then you're like, okay.
Visual quality can always be, you know, improved, and if many highly capable companies in the world that only do that for you, for the studios. And that's why you don't really want to show to a large public some, you know, early gameplay, because people may be scared. Like, why is this player looks terrible? Because that's not the point yet. The point is to make sure the game is fun, and after you make him pretty. that's really, but it's hard to understand if you're not a game developer and you see it from the outside, like, oh, that sounds scary. It's normal. That's the process.
Yeah, especially in this case, because you know, these sports like players are going to be unique, every single one of them. They will look different. So the system was, let's say, more complicated than typical ones, where you just pre-generate them and have like a certain amount and that's it. So yeah, there was a lot of work that has been put, and they are still working on them to further improve. But yeah, we've seen, I mean, every all hands meeting, we go through you know, these new games that we have, and then we show it to the team, and I think, you know, everybody's getting more and more excited as, you know, the time goes by. So I'm quite excited myself.
Let's move on to the next question, which is, what's the roadmap for the rest of the year? I know that's a really hard question to answer. I'm going to push you guys to give kind of like a high level structure, not something specific. We, of course, do not commit that anything that comes out of our execs' mouths right now is going to come out by the end of the year, but we have a vision and we're going to talk about what we're trying to target.
I think one of the core aspects is around the self usage of the platform. So making the platform, whether it's distribution, whether it's marketplace, whether it's the blockchain, making it usable by third parties so people can start really leveraging what we've built. So that's core. Today we have a lot of manual process. That's how you really start businesses, that you make sure everything works well, you improve on your processes, and you see where are the pain points. And then once you know, improve that, you can actually make it automatic. And right now we are moving into the automated phase, where we want people to be able to self-publish, to do everything by themselves. They could do it today as well, but we can improve that to make it like a good experience. When the good experience is there, then it's much easier to scale. And then you can start, you know, like ramping up heavily on content pushing, because then you don't push and have to hire 20 people to manage that. You basically need a few people because you made the process simple and easy. So it allows you to scale much faster.
Yep. Aside from, you know, service automation and so on. So there's a lot of work related to the NFT standard, the NFT store, and the search engine. There's introduction of a couple of new functionalities. So first of all, one that will be ready soon will be the first-hand store for unique factories. So today you create a unique factory. It doesn't mean that you are selling it. It means you're the manager of this factory and you have the right to call the factory and say, hey, mint the NFT and send it to, you know, user X. So typically, you know, you would do the sale on the side and then, or you would just mint and distribute to people. And so now we added the functionality that you set the factory. And once it's set, you can activate a store on it. And basically you say, well, to get a mint, you need to pay X. And this X can be set in dollars or US, even though, you know, you still need to be paid in US. But if the US price fluctuates, you want me to update the price all the time. And yeah, so people will be able to buy directly from the factory and receive the unique as a result. Now, one cool thing about this functionality is that when you will sell this, you know, when you would set the unique factory for sale, it's set for sale in a similar fashion as secondhand sale of NFTs. It means that anybody can show the sale of this unique on their store, on their mobile app, on their, you know, whatever. And if somebody buys it from them, they will receive a promoter fee, which is set by the seller. So I can say, okay, I'm selling this, I set up this, you know, new product, whatever it is, but it's tokenized. I sell it for $100 and whoever sells it for me receives, I don't know, $20. And so now, you know, you could have Altrace Life that says, oh, I like this product, puts it first page. Hey, you know, you can buy this. And if somebody buys it from his website, Altrace Live will receive $20. And so that also means that if you launch a collection of NFT, whatever you tokenize, you will be launching your product through multiple stores at the same time. So this is something that's, you know, very cool that's coming. I hope, maybe, you know,
on top of this, maybe you also have the restrictions, not sure it wouldn't be available yet. But that's also through the groups, which means, because that's great for, you know, having a wide network of people who can promote content. But some also, like, I don't know, like a Carrefour or a brand might want to say, okay, I allow that for my customers, this special product that only they have access to. And that's also something that we work on, because we want so large brands to be able to leverage that in the fashion they want to do it for their business. So those are some interesting things, because this is like protocol based. A lot of what we develop is on the protocol or the NFT standard, which means it's guaranteed it's working, and it's guaranteed for the long term as well that those rules are enforced. And that's, I think, important to emphasize. We've seen recently with, you know, OpenSea, Blur, that the fact it's not protocol level makes it that you're, you know, trusting others to make the decision for you. When here, fact is protocol level, all those functionalities David is describing means that you can trust what you are doing and your business is going to be persistent and, you know, going the direction you wanted it to be, because the protocol enforced the rules and not the third-party smart contract in addition. That's a huge difference. It sounds like it, but if you see the problems in the market we have today, that's because of this kind of a solution that didn't exist yet.
So, yeah, so this is one cool functionality about to come. It will also allow people to sell NFTs, new collections, super easily. And obviously, as you can imagine, we will be down the road working on to integrate it ourselves for games. Because the long-term vision is to allow anybody to create a game store or to promote a game or to sell a game through their, you know, social network, through their, you know, website, application, games, and so on, and earn a commission for doing that work. And so that's the idea here, is that the game developer will put his game on Ultra through the Ultra system, backend solution, and so on. But as soon as the game is there, we tokenize it. And as soon as the factory is there, then everybody can start selling the game and earn a commission. And so we're basically crowdsourcing the sale of these assets. Now we're sort of like the managers of these factories. So therefore we are crowdsourcing the thing, but anybody that creates their factory can then also benefit from the same network effect and crowdsource, you know, the sale of these services. So over time, I expect that, you know, sales are going to be more and more powerful, because they're going to address a larger and larger audience every time there's a new, you know, marketplace that supports our NFT standard. Okay, so that's a big topic. Then real fast, another functionality that's coming is factory groups, which is something that will be integrated very soon. So the functionality is there, but now we're going to create, you know, new pages that will allow us to, or anybody for that matter, to create a group of factories. So let's say you're Ubisoft, you have, you know, multiple Assassin's Creed. Maybe you want to have one page that show all the Assassin's Creed related unique factories. And maybe you have a little search engine for just this filter. So what you can then do is you create a new group that you call Assassin's Creed, and then you list all the factory IDs, and then you can apply metadata to this group. So you can describe what it is. You can say, hey, this is the, you know, Far Cry or Assassin's Creed, the franchise. These are all the related things about it. Or you could say, create on top of that another group and say Ubisoft games, and then you put all the Ubisoft games in it. And so this is a great way to group content that allows search engines or NFT marketplaces to better structure their content. So for example, we have a bunch of collections that have one of ones. And so now we can put them all into a single group, and unique factories or unique marketplaces can then leverage that to better organize things instead of doing things manually. So this is being also worked on right now. There's also product page that is being worked on. So when you click on a unique or a factory ID, there will be a page that better sort of like describe what this factory produces, whether it's a, you know, PFP collection, whether it's a game, whether it's a collection of game virtual items. You will have more information there, and you will be able to see, you know, the different uniques that have been already produced and the ones that are on the market there. And then the, you know, as a result of factory groups, the NFT marketplace, the unique marketplace will be updated with new filters that will allow you to better search, you know, for content, which will be directly resulted from the factory group data, which is, again, like Nicholas mentioned, also fully on-chain. So whatever, you know, groups is done, anybody can use them then for their own apps and games.
I guess I can also kind of answer my own question here from the developer relations perspective. A lot of stuff is being built to make sure that the developer experience is as good as it can possibly be, including tutorials, including explanations, including extra tooling, all kinds of stuff like that. That's all coming towards the end of the year. What are your strategies in terms of streaming tournaments, games, and cash prizes to take advantage of Ultra Arena?
So Ultra Arena is multi-purpose within the ecosystem. So on one end, it's a really great way for us to provide an extended experience for the users, so they can buy the game and then they can compete in the game, which is very different than what you would see out there. And all that tied to the game directly. In a sense, you can win the game or you can win NFTs tied to the game, like the show items tied to the game. So having this sort of cohesive solution. Another aspect is really the fact we want to get users through Ultra Arena, because Ultra Arena is, people like to compete. If there is a nice prize, if there is a new game, the idea is to target, you know, like the large games which are out there that people like to compete in, so we can basically target those users and then they can have their first experience within the Ultra ecosystem. And we've seen from our data that people coming for one reason on Ultra, almost 90% are using multiple applications, which is really big, which means the ecosystem aspect is something exciting for people. And the idea here is that we can also help some smaller and new games to actually get traction and visibility. That's also one of the great angles of the ecosystem, is that we can leverage different pieces to get traction for new games. And that's something we also want to use Ultra Arena for, is to be able to say, okay, it's a closed beta of a game. You guys can play that closed beta and directly compete in the tournaments. So everybody starts on the same foot. you can win even if you play like for 1 week the game, because that's a new game which is not even released. So it's very exciting because you have different dynamic than only the top tier players who've been playing for 5 years the same game. Will totally crush you, not gonna win. We saw that in tournaments when we play with some of our teammates. Rocket League, not fun. So the idea is really to be able to cater to different type of audience, and I think that's really really good. So and a good showcase as well of what the technology can do, because Arena is designed partially internally, partially externally, developed externally. So we are not directly doing it ourselves as Ultra on the development side. So we have third-party companies doing the development and using our technology. So it's a great way for us also to test our technology, showcase that it really works well, and then give that as an example for other developers. Hey, build your service on Ultra. And the other aspect also is the openness of the Arena. So right now it's only with an Ultra client, but we want to be open on the web as well, which will allow us to do like large partnerships, say with retail stores. You know, you saw the list of partners that our partners have. So obviously the goal is to do a lot of big tournaments, which are tied to large brands. And those give, you know, a new way for them to engage with their users, with their customers. And for us, that shows also a lot of new people that will be aware of Ultra.
So when 1 million users?
So 1 million user, to be honest, for me, was related to the exclusive game that we have now. It's not released yet. So I had, you know, hopes that it would have been released by now, but it's not the case. And, you know, this is unfortunately how game development works. You know, you keep working. There are delays. You don't release the game. You know, as a result, you can't achieve the goals that you had. Now, the kind of game that this game is very often achieve, you know, much more than a million user, like substantially more, like you can multiply that. So I think with this game alone, we will definitely reach a million users. Now, unfortunately, we actually need to wait for it to be ready for the public. And it's for the better good. You know, at the end of the day, we all want the success of the platform. And the release of this game can only be done once. You know, you only have a chance for one launch. So you better get your ducks, you know, in a row, get, you know, your marketing, right, get the gameplay right, get the content right, all of that. And, you know, it's just, we're just not there yet, but when it will be ready, you know, you can definitely count for your million user. Hopefully before that, you know, other events will happen. Now there's also, you know, the sports game that also, very often have tons of users. I saw, you know, not like a competing, you know, similar game on mobile that had, you know, 50 million users, and another that has 80, another that has, you know, X. So we know that these games are popular, And we, you know, there's also an opportunity there to grow the user base. And then obviously there's also all the other games that are, you know, getting in the pipeline that Janneke has been working, you know, hard on to, you know, line up all of these games for, you know, upcoming releases.
I think that's the case with the Ton platform, but also the features we've been developing quietly, like discounts, for example. It's an example. It's like one good way to attract users. You make, you know, a steep price, like much cheaper than it is elsewhere. You market it, you get lots of people excited because they want to buy the game. So there's many ways basically we can start leveraging the platform for acquisition. But it has to be done in a cohesive manner. You don't want to bring spending a lot of money to bring users, and then they have the right content associated to purchase next. So that's really a sort of cohesive effort. So right now we are already pushing with tournaments And that's, I would say, the first push we can make is through tournaments. But the idea is really after you have this sort of cohesive across-the-board launch, like a big tournament with a game like Almost Released, that can be the Triple FPS or some of the other games. And at the same time, a streamer is working on it. So really have this sort of ecosystem-wide, and then people see the view, the vision, and then the value of the ecosystem. That's why you don't see like tons of marketing being done right now, like everywhere, because it doesn't make sense. Once you have basically the right pieces, your efforts are much more impactful. And that's what we aim for. And so the fact, what we discussed earlier, is the fact we can also open the platform further to people to create that content. That's also when you start feeding more and more the entire ecosystem. And then this way, when you arrive on it, boom, there's a lot of things you can see, play, try. And that's the idea.
Yeah, if you like, keep in mind that we released, you know, most of our products to the public super, super recently, and they sort of all work together. There's pieces that are there for games distribution, but that are not there for game development, which is necessary for, you know, making use of our NFT standard. Now we're closing the gaps here with new APIs and so on. And so it's like, there's a lot of different tracks, you know, of development that are being done in parallel to achieve at the end something cohesive that is usable, not just by users, but also game developers and publishers and so on. And only when all of them are satisfied are we going to be, you know, very efficient into our marketing, because you can have something that's great for users but not great for developers. Well, how do you get then, you know, the content for the users, or vice versa? You know, it's great for developers, but how do you get the users if they're not satisfied with the user experience? And so this is sort of like, there's a lot of things going on at the same time, but they're all built as a cohesive, you know, solution. I like to call it, you know, full spectrum. Like, you really have a solution from the beginning to the user authentication in game, out game, to the, you know, purchase and so on. And so this is, you know, we're barely reaching that stage. And, you know, we can start, you know, planning proper growth strategies, because now there are some tools where we can start, you know, that we can actually leverage. And, you know, a lot of these tools have been tested. Also, you know, tokenization, their generation of redeemable codes, all of these are part of like the tools that will allow us to grow, you know, in the near future.
Yeah, it looks like small, you know, small launch. But there are small launch, the goal is to test basically the features, same way for the variants, we do also a launch. The goal is not to make a huge blast, the goal is to try, see if it works well, get people excited around it, and then integrate that into a sort of toolbox when we, for example, help a partner to become big. This is part of the toolbox, and this is how we're going to make it successful for them and then for us at the same.
I don't think that people really understand that when you go to a partner and you say, look at our huge suite of features and functionality that we've built over the years, this is how it all works together, how impactful that really is.
Yeah, yeah, no, totally, because they usually have problems. So we see that a lot with people also who are in the Web3 space, come with issues they have, and they are very happy to see that it's solved, because yes, that's an issue you're going to have, you're going to run into, and that's what we are trying to get. Sort of not foolproof solution, but yeah, having actually better solution of people even anticipate it. They're like, oh, I have this problem. I actually have a solution that benefits you even further than the problems you have today. And that's really the mindset we have to do.
We only have a few more minutes, but I wanted to ask one more special extra question. Pineapple on pizza?
Obviously, yes. I'm being careful, but yes, obviously. All my Italian friends, mamma mia,
so tasty. Great, guys. Thanks again for coming on to the show. It's always a pleasure. I will talk to you guys very soon.
Thank you, Rami. Thank you, everybody.
Awesome. Thank you, Rami. Thanks, everyone.